Radio Prague News.
The European Commission's latest growth forecast expects the Czech economy to stagnate in 2012. Czech MEP Susana Rojtová has announced her candidacy for the post of president, and the tripartite has agreed on a new set of regulations for early retirement schemes. Czech MEP Zuzana Rojtová is planning to run for the post of president as a candidate of the Christian Democrats. Mrs. Rojtová officially announced her planned candidacy at a news conference on Thursday. The slogan of her campaign is Člověk, the Czech word for human, and Rojtová's acronym for the pillars of her program, which she says focuses on human and Christian values, responsibility, and European integration. If the Christian Democrats Party, which holds only 5 seats in the Senate, is not able to win Senate members from other parties to support the MEP's candidacy, Mrs. Rojtová will need to secure 50,000 signatures from voters to be able to officially run for the post. Mrs. Rojtová has been involved in politics since 1998, when she became the health minister. Later, she was elected into the Czech Senate and joined the European Parliament in 2004. The European Commission on Thursday issued a new economic forecast for the Czech Republic. The fresh forecast is significantly worse than the previous one. The Czech economy is expected to stagnate in 2012. In November, the EC had forecast a growth of 0.7% of GDP. In addition, the EC said that data from this January indicate that Czech consumers have curbed their spending in the first month of this year, most likely due to the unstable economy, as well as redundancies across the labor market. Commenting on the growth forecast, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said on Thursday that the worsened outlook did not come as a surprise, since it was basically identical with the Czech Finance Ministry's January growth forecast of 0.2% for 2012. The tripartite, government officials, trade unions and employer organizations, on Thursday agreed to introduce a new set of early retirement regulations for all professions. The new early retirement rules take effect next year and are linked to a planned gradual increase in the retirement age to 67 years. Employers were pushing for early retirement schemes to be restricted to people who work in risky or physically demanding professions. However, trade unions and the government opposed this idea. As part of an overhaul in the current pension system, employers will be contributing funds to employees' early retirement pensions. Despite milder conditions in most regions, snowdrifts are still complicating railroad traffic in the Czech Republic. A 2-meter wall of snow is blocking a railroad connection between the towns of Chomutov and Vejprty in the north of the country. Railroad personnel are removing the snow manually since snow removal equipment is not suitable for the task. And now, a brief look at the overall weather. Ahead of the weekend, cloudy skies and daytime temperatures between 3 to 9 degrees Celsius are expected. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jan Wellinger. In today's program, what will be the implications of the return of a Prague chief prosecutor sacked by the justice minister last year? We'll have all the details and we'll also be talking to a commentator. Then be sure to stay tuned a little later in the program for Panorama, when we take a look at a very special children's playground in the works. Don't miss it. The change of guard at the High State Attorney's Office in Prague has sent reverberations across the political spectrum and has raised concerns regarding the independence of the Czech judiciary. Vlastimil Rampula, Prague chief prosecutor who was sacked last July on suspicion that he had been holding up key corruption investigations, returned in triumph on Wednesday to reclaim his post. This after the Prague Municipal Court ruled that his dismissal was not sufficiently justified. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
The ruling of the Prague Municipal Court has once again made Vlastimil Rampula one of the most powerful figures in the Czech judiciary. His superior, Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman, clearly continues to mistrust him and, inside sources say, is looking for ways to get him dismissed for good. However, that has not stopped Mr. Rampula from getting back to work and quickly regaining lost ground. His old deputy, Libor Grigarek, who avoided dismissal over ties to a lobbyist by falling ill, miraculously recovered and reported for work on Wednesday. At the centre of attention is now an in-depth probe which the provisional chief prosecutor Stanislav Mechel ordered, a probe into the work of the High State Attorney's Office in high-profile cases of corruption. Back on the job, Mr. Rampula said that since it had been ordered, he would let it run its course.
It was ordered and it will be undertaken as planned. If any failings come to light, then I will consider the gravity of these failings and take respective measures.
Part of the investigation has already been concluded and according to Thursday's edition of Mladá fronta Dnes and Lidové noviny, inspectors uncovered a number of serious lapses. On his last day in the post, the officer's provisional boss, Stanislav Mechel, confirmed that certain failings were uncovered, but it will now be up to the reinstated Vlastimil Rampula to summarize and assess the probe's findings. More factors are at play in this particular battle for power. Mr. Rampula's return has undermined the position of Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, who sacked him 6 months ago, and there is speculation that the Junior Public Affairs Party is striving to gain control of this particular portfolio, a claim its leaders have heatedly denied. Meanwhile, the opposition Social Democrats and the Czech branch of the international watchdog Transparency are ringing alarm bells and saying that Mr. Rampula's return to office will seriously undermine the credibility of the Czech judiciary. The Prime Minister is expected to make a statement on the matter on Friday, and the Justice Minister is reportedly considering a cassation appeal against the court verdict. Everything points to the fact that the dispute over who should lead the High State Attorney's Office in Prague is far from over.
Daniela Lazarová reporting there. Now, the battle over who should head the High State Attorney's Office in Prague, as well as the implications of the return of the office's old new head, Vlastimil Rampula, are of course very much at the center of media attention. And Daniela Lazarová asked commentator Jiří Pehe for his interpretation of the affair.
The situation in the office of the chief prosecutor really can be interpreted on several different levels. The most simple interpretation is that this is a battle between two groups within the Czech judiciary, fight for power. But I think that probably the interpretation that this is also a struggle for the future functioning of Czech democracy is more appropriate. And what I have in mind is the fact that we are indeed watching a battle between Mr. Zeman, who is the general prosecutor in the Czech Republic, and Mr. Rampula for how in the future various corruption cases and various economic crimes will be prosecuted. And I think that Mr. Rampula indeed has been a very controversial figure who, it seems, managed to sweep many important cases under the carpet, so to speak. And Mr. Zeman is trying to reopen many of these cases and in the future also punish those who commit economic crimes or are involved in large-scale corruption.
Do you feel that politicians are too heavily involved here? Because we have seen Radek Jón of Public Affairs call a special session of the Security Committee, this talk that the Justice Minister's head could roll over this.
Well, I think that we should notice a very interesting development in connection with this case. Not much was happening when Mr. Zeman, the general attorney, recalled Mr. Rampula, or when he proposed his recall to Minister Pospíšil. It was accepted by some politicians and some people in the judiciary with a lot of unease, but really no open revolt against Mr. Zeman took place. It all started in a moment when Mr. Mitchell was appointed by Mr. Zeman in Mr. Rampula's place, and he decided to reopen some corruption cases, former investigations which were closed. And in that moment, we started seeing political attacks from parts of the judiciary and so on, all of them trying to get Mr. Rampula back and somehow also undermine the position of the Minister of Finance. All of this tells me that there are very powerful people in this country, in politics and the economy, who are terribly afraid that Mr. Zeman could indeed start reopening some of these cases, or that he could press charges, and some heads would be rolling, and those would be the heads of some very important people in this country.
Jiří Pehe, political analyst, was talking there to Daniela Lazarová about the situation at the High State Attorney's Office in Prague and the return of the old new head, Vlastimil Rampula. If you'd like to comment on this development, please do so by writing to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz, or you can start a discussion either on Facebook or through Twitter, of course. So do so if you're so inclined. We'll be happy to hear from you. Now, though, a recent study by the pro-civic engagement charity Oživengi found that of 500 disclosure declarations lodged by Czech politicians, MPs, senators, and local officials, roughly a quarter had errors or issues worthy of further investigation. Critics suggest that the current system simply is not working, and with an array of authorities across the Czech Republic tasked with examining conflict of interest declarations, well, some admit that they do not even have the resources to fully check what public servants have declared. In addition, there are numerous loopholes that appear to make the system highly ineffective. Dominik Jun spoke with Vladan Broš of Transparency International, the Czech branch, and began by asking whether he thought the current system was working.
As you can see from the analysis, the system is not working, and it's simply because the law of conflict of interest doesn't work. It's not effective.
So what exactly is the law? How does it work at the moment? How do politicians let it be known that they have potentially issues in this regard?
Well, they are obliged to announce their property and their income, but there is a problem because they have to announce it just only during the function. So nobody knows what was their property or what was their income before they came to be the politician.
And there's also a report whereby it suggested that the system that exists at the moment isn't actually capable of checking everybody who makes a declaration. So is that a weak system?
Yeah, it really weakness of the system, because there is lack of public control of the whole system. So it's a problem that it's not publicly controlled.
What exactly can a politician hide today?
Well, the first thing is that it's up to them what they will write to this infringement of the obligations. And the second thing is that it's really hard to control it from the public. There is no central address, let's say, or central web page where all the information are served. It's just only in the municipalities according to the residence of functionary.
Are there any changes then to the law, the system as it exists at the moment, that you might recommend as being ones that would put more sunlight on the system?
Actually, the law is from 2007 or 2008, and the system was better in the first version of the law because it was controlled by the court. But during the time, there were some amendments to the law, and the system started to be less and less controlled by the public. And now we hope that there will be a new amendment which will enforce the law. For example, till now there is only penalty 50,000 Czech crowns, and we see this amount really inadequate.
And how important is this particular issue, this conflict of interest issue, in the overall reputation of Czech politicians as being particularly corrupt?
It's really big portion of the problem, even though the politicians, they don't see it as a serious problem. Because if you cannot control the conflict of interest of politicians, we don't know why they decide as they decide, what's hidden behind their decision.
And are there any infamous examples in modern Czech politics where there has been a strong suspicion of conflict of interest?
I can give you an example of our government. There are several ministers that had to step out because they were accused of conflict of interest. For example, former Minister of Culture, former Minister of Agriculture and Industry.
And what exactly were the conflicts?
The case of Minister of Culture was that he didn't declare, he broke the obligation to declare or the participation in a firm or in commercial societies.
Last question. So the current government is taking this up. Is there a hope for positive reforms?
Yes, there is still hope that amendment of conflict of interest law will be included in the next anti-corruption strategy of the government.
That was Vladan Broš of the Czech branch of Transparency International speaking with Dominik Jun. And that takes us to our final feature for this day, which is Panorama with Daniela Lazarová. She'll be talking to the creator of a fascinating-sounding new children's playground in the works. So here it is.
Getting youngsters to play outside on a sunny day is an increasingly difficult task. Most parents now find it near impossible to pry their children away from their computers. And compared to the wonders of virtual reality, kids no longer find outdoor activities as attractive. Czech designer Pavel Tuma and his team have now unveiled a revolutionary 5D playground that aims to change that. The designer says he wants to give kids the best of both worlds.
Ano, to je filozofie. Nechme dětem jejich oblíbené kompy.
Our philosophy is, let children have their beloved computers and their friends on Facebook and Twitter. But let's find a smart way to transfer this activity out into the park. Not just parents, even gym teachers have a big problem getting kids to move.
The need to fight growing child obesity, which is plaguing most developed countries and is widely attributed to a passive lifestyle, was one of the main motivations behind the computerized playground project. Pavel Tuma, whose team of designers spent 2 years developing the idea, explains how the playground will look.
Představte si hřiště, které má velikost 36 na 18 metrů.
Imagine a playground that is 36 times 18 meters large, the size of a tennis court, and right next to it is a 5D box, a sort of mini computer center with touchpad technology and sensors relating to the five senses. Each child would get a chip to enter the game, which is a combination of physical and mental hurdles that have to be overcome. The playground itself comprises 9 artificial rocks, which are quite big. There are numerous hurdles of different kinds, a multimedia box, and lots of special services. The playground is visually very attractive.
The playground aims to be more than just fun out in the open. It should combine entertainment, physical activity, and develop knowledge skills. The team of young designers who put their names to it are hoping that this will be the playground of the future and envisage a network of playgrounds which could eventually be linked up. The prototype, which is to be built in the coming months, will be open to a given school in the morning and anyone interested in the afternoon. The software is still being kept under wraps, but the authors have revealed that there are 6 areas of knowledge in which children can test or pit their skills: geography, history, natural sciences, entertainment, and general knowledge. The quiz can focus exclusively on one area or provide a random across-the-board quiz. So how do teachers feel about the idea? Pavel Tuma says they got a few on the team, knowing they were likely to bring fresh input.
No, máme a uším týmu, protože jsme ten nápad tak trošku drželi pod pokličkou. Tak
we originally kept this under wraps, but once we knew what we were doing, we invited a history teacher, a gym teacher and even a school inspector to join our brainstorming sessions. We're open to any new ideas. The playground can be used by one child at any given time, but we think that more participants competing will make full use of its potential. We really feel that schools will take it further.
Protože si myslím, že využití tohoto hřiště bude v několika rovinách.
While the idea of a computerized playground testing one's physical and mental prowess is fairly clear, the use of social networks remains a bit of a mystery. Pavel Tuma says this is seen as a follow-up activity.
Uvedu takový jeden malý příklad. Učitel přijde...
Let me give you an example. A teacher can take the whole class to the playground where they can take a test which they would do otherwise in the classroom. All it would need is for the teacher to give us the test questions a day in advance, and we would take care of the rest. On a sunny day, knowledge tests could take place out in the open, and teams of students could play against each other. And by the time they got home, they will have received their test results by mail, and there will be lots of photos on Facebook of their class in the playground.
A samozřejmě na Facebooku spousty fotek z toho, jakým způsobem hráli proti sobě.
Schools have welcomed the idea and there are many suggestions on how it could be developed further. In addition to linking up future playgrounds and competition between schools, there have been suggestions that there could be stands selling healthy snacks close to these playgrounds, various hobby groups and even a center offering advice on how to fight child obesity and help a child improve their physical condition. Pavel Tuma says that while these plans sound great, he has more immediate concerns on his mind, building the first prototype playground somewhere in Prague and making sure it works as planned. He and the team presented the project at this year's International Toy Festival in Nuremberg, and it made a splash among 2,700 presenters from 63 countries, even getting nominated for the top award. There was just one problem. Everyone wanted to see it in action.
My jsme do Norimberku jeli s tím, že teda chceme někde jakoby mezinárodně představit myšlenku.
We just went to Nuremberg to see how the idea would be received and the enthusiasm it generated was a very pleasant surprise. We got approached by investors from all over the world. There was interest in the project from Denmark, Germany, Italy, Turkey, Canada, Russia, China and Saudi Arabia. They all wanted to see the prototype and try for themselves how it works. So we had to explain that it was still on paper and the first prototype would be built in Prague in the spring of this year. But from their reactions, it was clear that we are on to something big.
Na jaře v Praze. Nicméně, už teď je jasný, že jsme jakoby těli do zlaté žíly.
One such playground should cost approximately 8 million crowns. The team already has investors, and it should be made known which Prague district will be lucky enough to host the very first computerized playground in the country. The playground is designed to be used in winter as well, with an inflatable roof and walls. While British and Canadian companies were keen on the idea as an instrument in fighting child obesity, Turkish inventors wanted to tap its potential in the sphere of tourism. Either way, it looks like computerized playgrounds have a bright future ahead of them.
Well, that was Daniela Lazara with that edition of Panorama. I don't know about kids. I want to try this playground. No, seriously, my three-year-old, every day now when I come home, I hear him say, Daddy, můžeme si hrát with the iPad or something like that. He mixes English and Czech. iPad at 3 years old. So by the time he's old enough, I'm sure this playground will be exactly the thing for him. If you'd like to comment, write to us at the station, english@radio.cz, and be sure to look up more stories and reports at our website, radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at the station. Thanks so much for joining us. And take care.